And this morning, we're talking cattle farming. Now, there's more to cattle farming than you can imagine. It's not just about keeping some cows in a paddock, and especially not if you're Emma and Joel Muirhead from North Burnett region in Queensland. Now, Emma and Joel, along with their four children, work two properties, totaling about 24,000 acres. That's a lot of land, people. That is a lot of land, considering most of us either live in apartments or terrace houses that have, like, you know, maybe like a 12-meter frontage, 6-meter frontage. Anyway, across their properties, they run about 1,100 head of beef cattle, and they have an approach to grazing which puts the health of the land at front and center. And Emma joins us this morning. Emma, good morning. How are you?
Hey, mate, I'm really good. How are you guys going?
I'm good. What's the weather like up there this morning?
Well, I've actually just spun around to have a look outside while I'm talking to you, and it's tremendously foggy, actually. We've got our view sort of looks down over our irrigation flats down to a river, and I can't see the river, so it's very, very, very foggy.
Very foggy. Okay, so tell us about the grazing style that you and Joel use up there.
Well, you just nailed it, really, with your introduction. I'm very impressed, Will.
Oh, thank you.
So basically, yeah, you're 100% right. It's sort of a movement towards looking after the land, but obviously being highly productive with the cattle that are on top of it. So I guess a lot of people explain it as using hoof and tooth to improve the soil for our future generations.
And so what does it mean? Like, do you have to move the cattle more, or how does it actually, like, work?
Yeah, so it's quite, like I was sort of jotting some notes down this morning, it's actually quite intensive. So what we do on our irrigation is very different to what we do on our dry land. So we've got 20,000 acres of grazing country west of Eidsfold, which obviously doesn't regenerate as quickly as our irrigation flats. So both properties will be run very, very differently. But on the irrigation, currently at the moment with a winter pasture under the irrigation, we're moving every day. And that's probably not as intensive as it can be. Some dairy farmers will use this style of grazing and will rotate, sometimes every couple of hours they'll be moving cattle on.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. And what made you want to move towards this?
Oh, I guess Joel and I are always eager to learn, and we knew there had to be a better way to try and regenerate our soils. Like at Eidsfold, you know, with 20,000 acres and sort of, you know, running up to 800 breeders up there, it's we just thought there had to be a better way to utilise all of the country that we had in that area. So by splitting the paddocks up and putting all of the cattle into one mob and rotating that mob through each paddock, they actually utilise the pasture better. In winter, now that it's frosted up there, we've got a lot of spear grass, so we utilise licks for the cattle's guts and rumen to actually process that dry feed better. So it means that they go out into those regions where they wouldn't traditionally go if we just had a small number of cattle in that paddock.
Yeah, right. Okay, so, I mean, the benefits sound, like, quite obvious in terms of the land is much better looked after, the cattle are well. There's obviously some challenges. Tell us about those.
Yeah, you're completely right. Like, when it comes to benefits and challenges, you can kind of split them up into three areas. We've sort of got benefits and challenges for the land, benefits and challenges for the cattle or whatever enterprise is on top of the land, and then obviously benefits and challenges for the people. So some of the challenges are obviously getting it right. Like, we use a bit of a process to read and calculate how much grass we think we have. So when we say getting it right, we always want to leave a portion of our feed for the land that ensures that during the rest period that country will have, which can be quite quite extensive at the moment being winter, that we've got enough feed and solar panels, we like to say, in the grass for it to actually regenerate itself while it's resting. So that's probably the biggest challenge, is making sure we don't overstock and we set our stocking rate right to what the grass is doing. And I guess the other thing is when you've got numerous species of grass or pasture in one paddock, is actually managing for the species that you would like to prefer to move on, if that makes sense.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So kind of like encouraging the preferred grass or trying to encourage the preferred grass.
Yeah, which just basically means that we'll feed. So say you walk into a paddock, you'll look for the preferred grass and we will feed on that one. So sometimes our plan might might sort of be moved because we'll head into a paddock and realise that they've gone at their preferred pasture more quickly than we thought. So we've got to shuffle them on, or it could be the other way as well.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Emma, I could talk to you all morning because I find this stuff really fascinating, but we have run out of time. Hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Rural Connection. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thank you. I'm glad you guys are interested.
Bye, Emma.
See you, mate.